A little advice, come on, come on, come on, yeah. Just a little advice with Christine Little. Check it out.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Little Advice Podcast, a podcast where I, comedian Christine Little, gives advice to one of my guests. And it's only a little advice because I just have a BA in psychology, but I also read a lot of self-help books, and so I try to give people advice based on stuff that I've learned. Do I always use it? No, but I do my best. This is season number two. What are you gonna do? Season number two. And this is episode number 22 with a very funny comedian, Chelsea Groh. I think you guys are gonna really love hearing from her. She's got such a great personality. And we kind of run the gamut on things here. We talk about a new guy that she's seeing and if she should really open up her heart or just chill. And then we talk about her origin story into comedy, which is really interesting and I had no idea about myself. So I think you guys are really going to enjoy this. Also, if you like the podcast, please share, rate, leave a review, or slide into my DMs. I'd love to hear from you and anything else that you'd want to hear about on the podcast. I love listening to podcasts where I learn something. So hopefully you have the opportunity to do that with this podcast. And without further ado, here's episode number 22 with Chelsea Groh. Thank you guys so much for listening to A Little Advice. Hi, I'm sitting here with Chelsea Groh. Hi, Chelsea.
Hi, Christine.
How's it going?
It's groovy, girl.
It is groovy, isn't it?
Yeah.
So your last name's Groh.
Yes, it's Groh. It doesn't look that way, but it is Groh.
Is it French?
It is French. Yeah, my grandfather was Puerto Rican, but he also, his father was from the Virgin Islands, so he got the French last name. And then it all sautéed, and then...
Ooh, sautéed. Ooh, that sounds delicious.
Yes, well, I've been told.
So too. Wow, we're already, like, learning so much about you. Chelsea Groh. Yeah, so if you haven't figured it out, her name has an X in it. One of those, mm-hmm. One of those people.
One of those Creole-adjacent X's.
Creoles. Creole crowns people. Yeah, right. That's cool. How was your day so far?
So far was good. Got to yoga and went to yoga. I recently just left a job that was like sucking my soul dry.
What
so
was it?
It was like this warehouse job. It was like 2 hours away, and like for me, it was one of those things. I had a job before, but it was like within cannabis, and they lost their license. And then
I heard about that place, and it was like all comics. And it was the best job ever.
Yes, best job ever. And then I was there for 4 months, we're making good money, and I was like, didn't have to worry about any bills, was getting up to speed. And then the day of them losing the license, they say, "Hey guys, this is everyone's last day. Sorry, no severance. Sorry, I know it sucks for you. We still have jobs though." They're like, "We have jobs, but
we're good. So don't worry about us.
Yeah, we're fine. You know, my house is great. My two cars are gonna be paid for. But you,
good luck finding food.
Yeah, good luck. You know, best wishes. And so that ended so abruptly, and then I had to like, you know, hustle up the rent and it was really stressful. So then, 3 weeks after that, I lost that job. I got another job and I was like, fine, I'll take any job. Right. Cause I thought, oh man, I've always been taught like you have to have a job. Like, you know, being from the East Coast and my dad, he's always been like, oh, if you don't have a job, you don't have this. But I had to get out of there cause it was cold in that warehouse and I had to like lift boxes, which again I'm fine, but I'd rather get my cardio from Down Dog and Chaturanga. Like, I'm not trying to
What's Chaturanga?
Oh, it's like when you're in plank position, but then you bend your elbows and you go low, not all the way to the ground, but you get very close to the ground and you hold. It's great. Yeah, you know, I'm trying to get them Angela Bassett arms. So,
oh,
you know.
Yeah. Dude, I feel you. What's Love Got to Do with It?
Yeah. Oh,
oh
girl.
She has those big ass arms.
She is, Angela Bassett is, yeah, always. That is the body goal for like
body goal.
Yeah.
So yeah, thanks thanks for coming here today.
Thanks.
I'm really excited to have you. What's your problem?
Oh, girl. How long is this podcast? So, a problem I have is I recently did a show a few weeks ago, and it was my first time at this establishment, and the host offered to buy me a cocktail. He said, oh, what do you want to drink? I said, oh, I'll have a Maker's and ginger, right? Because I'm over 30 now, so I can't drink, you know, well, whiskey because
Yeah. Was this payment, too, for the show? Because sometimes as comedians, we don't get paid in money. We get paid in drink tickets.
Yes, we do. Yeah, I didn't. This was not a paid show. This was a, you know. So I think he felt bad. He was like, oh, well, I'll get you a drink. But I said Maker's and ginger because, yeah, like, I have things to do. Like, I'd rather just get, like, one good drink than, like, 12 terrible ones, you know, because, like, I got to bounce back. And
there's nothing wrong with that.
This is right. And so he gets me a well whiskey and ginger, which I get it, it's fine, but I did drink it because, you know, I didn't want to, like, make the whiskey feel bad, even though it was Barton's, but...
Barton's actually sponsors this podcast.
Barton. I don't drink your stuff, except in emergencies, but he then proceeded to bring me on stage. And before he did, he said, ladies and gentlemen, come to the stage right now. We got, hey, what's your name again? Rhonda. And I was like, nope, it's Chelsea. He said, well, I was close. And I'm like, yep, C and R, opposite ends of the alphabet. Just like, there's so many letters between C and R. Like, there's a whole plethora. And then he said, well, ladies and gentlemen, just so you know, I did buy Chelsea, you know, a cocktail. I got her what did I get you? It was like a whiskey ginger. He said, yeah, I got her a whiskey ginger. So you know what that means, Chelsea? I'm going to need that number.
Ew. You know? Are you kidding me? The host of this?
Girl, the host. First of all, he kept saying, I'm going to need that number. And I'm like, sir, I can't give you things you can't pronounce. Okay? Like, Ooh. It's E-R. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to need that number and that cookie. And I was like, first of all, you know.
First of all, my number is 86 as an 86-year-old.
86? Oh, yeah, you went to restaurants, you know. 86. Out. Nope. My number's out. We're out of my number. Just for you forever. Girl, and I was so just, I was probably like, you know, in just a heightened sense of irritability because I just was like.
First, he gives you the shitty whiskey. Then he doesn't remember your name.
Yeah.
And he like blows it off. He's not funny, probably.
Girl.
And then he says he needs your number.
My number?
Like you owe him because of a drink.
Because of a drink and the cookie. And then I go on stage and then I was something like clicked and I got on stage and I went into this rant because I was like, I don't understand how you forgot my name and you bought me well whiskey, but yet you want my number and to get laid. Like, if you can't afford Maker's Mark, you can't afford Pampers.
Oh,
it's that simple. Like, and then the next thing you know, I was like, and there was a lot of guys in the audience too, a lot of black men in the audience, which I was.
How did they react?
You know, honestly, I thought that they were going to be like, the women were doing backflips, you know, there was Dominique Dawes up in there. They were like, yes, do it again, say it again. But the men, you know, at first they were like a little uncomfortable, but then by the end, they were like laughing too because they know what I'm saying is true. Like, I feel like there's a lot of guys out here that want so much for nothing. And also too, lately, in the past, I was meeting guys that were, like, really trying to pressure you to have unprotected sex. I'm like, met today. And they don't know your middle name, your last name. They barely can say your first name. And they don't know your eye color, but you want to have unprotected sex. And, like, it baffles me. So I just go into this whole thing about, like, why would I break my body in half and risk childbirth to reproduce you and you can't even buy me top shelf alcohol. You haven't taken me on a date with linens.
Pronounce words.
Right. You can't enunciate. I don't want my kids to be illiterate. Like, that's, people think about this. And then everyone wants to call you a gold digger. Like, oh, you a gold digger because you want, no.
Oh, you and your standards. Yeah. Or whatever. Ooh, you don't want people inside your body.
Ooh, what's wrong with you? And it's just, and I'm like, so my thing is, if I was a lioness, I compare it to lioness, you know, shout out to Lion King coming out, the new one.
I can't wait.
I can't wait. But Lion King, if I'm a lioness, right? Lionesses, just like all other female species, like they're looking for a suitor. Like, you have to make me feel like, okay, my amazing genes would mix well with your genes, you know? And it's like, I'm not going, if I was a lioness and I'm out here, I wouldn't date a lion or hook up with a lion or have cubs with a lion who can't fight, you know? Because in the wild, a man who can fight, that's currency, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. In the wild, because if you can fight, you can protect my food, protect my young, protect me.
You can hunt.
You can hunt. Know? Great, yes, a Mufasa. Let's have a Simba.
A good team, a good partnership.
A good partnership, right. But if you out here letting scars jack you up, like, I'm not going to... Why would I have a cup with you? Why? It baffles me. And it's like, you know, it's like guys forget that, you know, being inside of a woman is amazing. You know, it's like, this is heaven. Every woman's vagina is an entryway to a portal of, like, heavenly...
Wow.
Arena, it is. It transcends you. Like, you know, a woman's vagina is healing, okay? I mean, like, I once had sex with an atheist, and he's back believing in God again. Like, you know, just like, girl, he's like,
we're gonna be contacting you after this. Oh, no! I have a bottle of Maker's Mark.
Actually, I've got a whole plethora. He's a no bargains here. And it's just... But that's the point, though, and I think that... But that was what was wild. But the advice part comes because one of the other gentlemen, he was in the audience, and he came up to me afterwards, and he told me...
A normal person, not a comic.
No, yeah, normal person. Uh-huh. Funny, very funny guy, but not a comedian. And he just told me... And I thought, like, oh, my gosh, like... I highly doubt a guy. You don't think you're going to go up there and speak the truth as a woman and be, like, you know, firm and, like, the disciplinarian or in that way. And then he came up to me. He was just so, like, enamored with me, and he just wanted to get to know me. So over the last few weeks, we've hung out a few times. There hasn't been any coitus, you know. but he can't afford Maker's Mark. And so, but he just really, like, he's come over. We just kind of slept in the bed together. We didn't. Aww. And he just, like... Really, like, he, like, FaceTimes me, like, he wants to, like, see my face, you know, and, like, and I'm, I guess the advice thing is that in the past for me, I haven't had the best track record, you know, dating-wise. You know, I've never been in a serious relationship, been single my whole life, kind of, you know, whoop-de-whoop, and I have gotten really close, like, I've met guys, and I met in the last few years, I've been very, like, reserved to the point where I'm, like, all right, I'm just going to let the guy do the things, and then basically, like, you have to work to get me to open up. Like, and maybe that's not fair or whatever, but that's just kind of where I'm at, because I have, you know, dated a guy for months and months, and then all of a sudden it's like he just Jekyll Hyde's me, and now he's like a completely different character. So, but this guy, you know, he said something recently. He told me, he was like, you know, I see you trying to not care about me, and it's okay. He was like, I get it. He was like, but I can tell that you do. And it wasn't from an arrogant place, because he's told me he likes me. He's been very verbal about his feelings. But I guess my advice would be, like, am I overthinking it? Am I giving him a fair chance? Because I feel myself, like, being, like, still very, like,
guarded.
That's the word. Yes. Words. Guarded. So... It's scary because, you know, I think the fact that I was so myself in that moment, and I was so vulnerable, and I didn't give a F-U-C-K about...
He saw that, and he saw you, and he was all about you.
Yes, and I think in the past, I feel like guys have seen, like, a part of me, or they've seen, like, maybe a watered-down version of me, or a mm-hmm. little bit of me, and, like, for me, I was, like, the last thing I was thinking about in that moment was... being attractive, if that makes sense.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I was like, wow, you really like me. You saw, like, raw me, and you really like me. And I'm, like, still working on myself and going through a transition in my life right now. And so I'm just kind of like, I don't know. I like him, but I can't. I feel like I can't tell him. Like, I don't know. I guess my advice is, like, should I just continue to just chillax and just let things happen? Or, you know, am I being too guarded? I guess that would be there.
I think there's a lot of variables that go into this. So, yeah. what do you mean you feel like you can't tell him?
I feel like in the past, whenever the second that I start to open up, like, a guy will work. He'll work for my attention, work to show me that he likes me, work to show me that he cares, and, like, you know, just put all this effort in. And I feel like the second that I say, okay, I excellence, okay, you know what? I like you too. It's like they switch. And, like, I'm scared of, like, the switch.
it's like when you feel like they get the power in the relationship and then they abuse it.
Abuse it, yes.
I mean, yeah, I totally know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Are you seeing any other people?
I'm not, but I've just been so focused on like really like transitioning my life and getting out of that crappy job and getting back into myself. And I guess I haven't just really even thought about it. Like, honestly, I wouldn't even be talking to him if he hadn't like approached me. So
you've got a lot going on.
Yeah.
You got a lot of different things going on.
I definitely do. It's a lot. in my head and in life, but yeah.
Yeah. And you're used to, you know, fending for yourself, taking care of yourself, doing what you need to do.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Right. So, I can relate to this pretty hard. It's hard to like open up and be like, hey, this is how I feel. Especially if a dude, like, you never know what's going to happen after that point.
Yeah. It's
but he knows that you do like him.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, no, he knows, but I think he knows from my behavior, not because I have verbally said it.
You know, it's different. I could be wrong, but I feel like it's almost different. Like, with women, when we say shit, like, we mean it. Like, we're like, look, I like you. It's out there. But with guys, I think they feel it in the moment, and they say it.
Yeah.
But what really matters is how they're acting, how they're being, because they get so caught up. Have you ever been, like, hooking up with a guy, and he's like, oh, my God, like, you're saying all this
crazy
shit.
Yeah.
Like, you weren't saying that when you weren't inside me.
Right. You know, you was outside the corridor, you was real tight-lipped, and now all of a sudden you're singing a carry. Like, I can't. Yeah. I just... These canary ass cornballs, girl. I can't.
So, I mean, I don't know, Chelsea. It seems like you're doing what you need to do to protect yourself. Do you think it's a problem?
I think, like, okay, one of the owner of my yoga studio that I go to, like, I've known her for coming up on a year. She's cool and stuff, like, and she told me today after yoga class, she said that she had a dream about me last night. And then she said she was totally weird. She's like, I don't know why you're in my dream, but she was like, in the dream, you and I were living, we were roommates in this house, and then I came up, and then you were in the room reading a book and laughing and cuddling with a guy. And she told me this morning after class, and I was like, oh, okay. And then it kind of made me think about the guy, and then because that's what we've been doing. We lay in the bed, and we talk, and we hang out, and we joke, and yeah. And so I don't know, like, I was like, she's maybe, who knows, girl, who knows?
Well,
I did think that was interesting though, that she told me that this morning.
It seems like you guys have had some really intimate, special moments,
mm-hmm.
even without going any further. And I love that he's like seen you in your realest form. Like, I don't know about you, but like, as a comedian, having a guy that I like see me perform, it's like, it's a big deal.
It really is.
It's like you're talking about stuff you don't normally talk, like, you're just putting yourself out there. And for a guy to see that could be intimidating for him. Mm-hmm. He could be like, whoa, what was that about, you know?
Yeah, like, don't make any jokes about me. And it's like I've been doing this. Sir, I just met you 3 minutes ago. Like, don't make any jokes about me. But yeah, no, I get it. Yeah.
I mean, sounds like he's a pretty cool guy. And I think...
Yeah, he's cool. He definitely is he's a cool guy. Yeah.
The sense he said that, like, look, I can tell that you like me, but you don't want to say anything about it. Seems like it doesn't seem like he's pressuring you to do anything else you don't want to
really
do.
Not.
And I really, really love that. And it's like, I think... I mean, I'm the kind of person, do you believe in this, like, whatever's meant to be is going to be or whatever?
Absolutely.
So it's like, I think that, like, he'll hopefully, part of him stepping up is continuing to meet you where you are and not pushing you to do something you're just not there to do yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that when you have opened up, maybe in the past, it's been like, maybe that you haven't had that time to get to know the guy really before that happens, and then it could flip easier. I'm not sure if that's the case.
No, you're on the money. You're on the money. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, I don't know that it's a good idea to say any more than what you feel, but your actions are showing it, and I think that's a big deal.
Thank you so much, girl.
Wait, don't you think?
Yeah, no, I agree. It's just, sometimes you need to hear somebody else say this stuff. Because, you know, it's like, ego and, like, all that stuff up there going, ooh.
I feel you. And then it's like, sometimes when you hold that stuff in, it feels like you still have some sort of power or control over the situation.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like my friends that, you know, I've seen like fall in love and all that stuff. That's the thing they told me. They're like, you, and these are strong women too, who are used to having control. And it's like, but I think love, just in general, and I think it's all love, like romantic love, love with like your family, love with like, you know, friends. I think all love is an area where you have to let go of control. You can't. Yeah. Love doesn't work like that. That way, like true love, is like it's freedom. You know, so even like from a parent to a child perspective. Like, you know, when I said I wanted to move to LA, my mom was like, you know what, baby, go. I love you. You know, be free. Like, you know. But then on the flip side, I felt like my father, who also loves me. My father was trying to restrict me and pressure me into staying, and you know, putting fear in my head about, oh, this is gonna happen, or what if that happens, or what if this goes wrong, and. You know, and what if you fail? And it's like, I think that they both love me, but I think my father was coming from a place of love, trying to control, and my mother's coming from a place of like love, letting go and freedom, you know?
Yeah.
So.
And he's probably loving to the best of his ability, you know, just trying to protect and thinking that's the right thing to do. But Yeah, that's hard. That's hard. I say, continue to go at your own pace and what you're comfortable with. But I do like that he seems like he's been, showing up and being there. Just, continue to see how that plays out. Without going into fantasy land, which is so hard.
Oh, I meant to tell you, I love, one of my favorite bits that you do is the one where you're like, when, you know, guy, you meet a guy, and then you plan the wedding and the kids and your head. And then, so when he, breaks up with you or he cuts it off, it's like, you just destroyed a whole family.
I totally forgot about that bit.
Oh, my gosh. I never knew that.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that bit. I haven't done that in years. I don't even remember. I think it was making me seem too psycho. And I noticed the guys would be like,
girl, no, girl, I love that bit. Because it's real. So many women do that. And it's just because women, you know, we're planners. And I don't think, we're the ones who are like, okay, all right, I have to do this, and this. Okay, we got to go to run this errand, pick this. You know, guys just be like, oh, let me just flow through life. And because they're men and society's made up to make sure that men always have like a pillow to fall on. Then they're like, oh, yeah, it'll be fine. But I relate to that. You know, I have been there, and I know plenty of other women. I've had plenty of girl talk sessions where you go there, and it's natural because, you know, you get excited, especially if you're a woman who's used to meeting a bunch of, losers back-to-back, and you meet one that's actually kind of decent.
And then you're also trying to see, is this worth investing in emotionally? It's like, exactly. When we invest, we're really there. We're really showing up, and we're kind of, connected and bonded to this person. So it's like, you're trying to project and keep yourself safe as much as possible. So you're like, could I see him being a father? Where would he show up? How would this happen? Whatever. So next thing you know, you're in fantasy land, and it's not even the guy, it's like your version of who he could be.
You're exactly this, but you're like fantasizing about the potential, you know? You're like, oh, he's potentially could be like a good,
And that's why I think it's good too to have, I mean, I am not great at doing this, but I think it is good to have some other options so that you're not putting, because it's when it's spread apart over other guys, it's you're not putting too much pressure on one person.
I agree.
You're sleeping with all these guys or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It's just you're really getting to know people on a friendship, genuine level, and seeing how it goes.
No, I agree. And now there is I did have it's so funny, another throwback. I had a throwback hit me up. This guy, me and this guy, we never hooked up because, you know, 3 years ago when I met him, he was talking, and then I found out that he had a girlfriend that he lived with, and I was like, oh, okay, cut that off.
See you later.
Yeah, I'm glad I know, like I said, we didn't hook up, whoo, thank God, but he definitely,
I have a guy like that, too. He's like, oh, yeah, so-and-so said that you were, interested. I was like, I mean, I guess, I don't know, and he's like, do you live with anyone? I was like, oh, yeah, I've got a room. This was years and years ago. I was like, yeah, I got a roommate. He's like, oh, I was like, cool, do you live with anyone? He's like, yeah, my girlfriend. I was like, why the fuck? Is this guy?
Why is this conversation?
Why are you talking? What is this about?
What are you doing? And he kept telling me, he's like, but I really like you. And I, you know what I told him? I said, listen, I was like, you clearly have a lot going on. And I said, you know, one, I said, if you're ever single and you don't live with a woman anymore, I said, then hit me up.
I don't want to talk to you because you're the kind of guy that lives with a woman and tries to hit up with other women.
Right. But I said that to him because I thought he would never do it. You know, I was like, oh, this guy's never, ever going to move out with his, you know, his baby mama. I'm like, this guy is never. I was like, yeah, yeah. So sure. I make this obscure goal. Mm. Girl, he called me a week ago. I haven't talked to this dude in like 18 months, haven't seen, you know, whatever. And he called me, he was like, hey, guess who's single? And ew. I'm like, I don't know.
Not me. I've moved on. It's been 18 months. What did he think? You were just sitting there waiting, girl, like marking off the calendar, like, right? Oh, I can't wait till this guy moves out with this girl.
Right. Well, the thing is, now this is what the gag is. So the gag is that at the end of last year, he called me and said that he had broken up with his girlfriend. And I said, oh, do you still live together? He was like, well, yeah, but, you know, we're broken up. And I was like, okay, then you're not single. Bye-bye. And again, I never thought. I just thought, okay, you're like, you know, a loser. You'll just fade away. And so, girl, a week ago, he calls me. He tells me, like, he's single. And he was like, and I got my own place. He was like, and it's my own place. I got my own apartment now. It's in Hawthorne. And so, and he's like, so, you know, he said, so don't be a stranger.
You know what? I think when they go through a breakup, guys, like, go through their old girls. And they're just trying to find the easiest thing to get. It's like, if you already have something going with a guy, like, in the past, mm-hmm. it's, like, easier, less effort, because they've already, like, put in some of the groundwork.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And it's, like, comfortable, so they're just flipping through. Man, I've had guys hit me up from, like, elementary school.
Girl, right.
Like, what are you doing?
From a different state. Like, yeah. What? Like, I haven't seen you since the 90s. Like,
I don't know who you are.
It's like, it just baffles me that I was like, I'm a comedian, so, like, I'm a sucker for this kind of conference.
I love,
like,
attention.
Attention, but I was a sucker because I'm like, this is gonna be material. Like, this, this has to be, there's something here. Cause it's like, it's been almost 3 years, like, really, since I first met you. And all you've done is, like, spout BS. And then it's so funny to me that he just really, like, thinks that, oh, hey, just so you know, I'm now ready to hook up, or I'm now ready to hang out. So, and I was at the grocery store, I was looking at bread, and I was very distracted. So I was like, he's like, oh, is this a bad time? I feel like you're not really engaged in this conversation. And I'm like, yeah, I'm
that looking. Guy sounds insane,
girl.
I feel like you're not really invested, and I've been calling you once every 3 years. Right. I think I deserve a little bit. I mean, I bought you, like, well liquor.
I got you Bartons, two of them.
Yeah, I had a similar thing. I was at a show, and this guy was, like, doing this whole bit about, like, you know how, like, guys do bits about, like, we get them dinner and they don't sleep with us, so what the hell? And I got up and I was like, you really want a girl that's going to sleep with you because you bought her some chicken?
Right! Like, thank you!
You think that she's worth chicken? Is that what you want?
Girl, right. She's not even going to eat it. Most of the time, these girls that they be taking these nice restaurants, like, it gets under my skin. Just because I'm a huge food. I love food.
Yeah.
I love food. Like, oh, man. And, like, I have passed up on some dick for some food. Like, I have been like, you know what? This tartare is bomb. Tuna tartare is, I'm about to hit this. Sorry. I'm sorry, Charles, you know, but, and I mean, I just really, it's like it's like, I've seen girls on Instagram, they'll post that they're on this date, right? And they're those, like, arm candy girls, you know, they've got the perfect body, you know, because they don't eat, and they just, you know, do cocaine all the time. And so, and then they just sit there, and they take pictures of food they can't pronounce. Like, look, my tuna tartare, like, girl. It aggravates me. I'm like, you're not even going to eat that. And just, like, this guy, they'll spend, like, $300 on a dinner, and she doesn't eat. And I'm like, oh, that's so much food. It's just,
that gives me a business idea.
Right.
Like, let me be your food buddy, like, your date buddy. I'll go out with you. I'll eat the food.
Girl, yes. You and the guy can have a date. You just pass me the plates. And I, girl, thank you. You, yes, yes. Everything, you take your little one bite for your little Instagram pic and pass me all the tuna tari-taris. And
it'll be called pick and pass.
Yes. Yes. Come on. That is it.
Hey, I think we just made something big.
Girl, I'm all about pick and pass, okay? Because I would be like, especially
if I use tag pick and pass.
I will eat. Oh, and it's such good food. And I'm talking like top shelf restaurants like Catch and like Petit Meritage and stuff like that. Like, I'm like, what? These entrees are not going to be consumed by this girl, okay? Mm-hmm. She's going to go to the bathroom. She's going to consume 6 lines, and that's dinner. Snort, snort.
Hilarious. Hilarious. I mean, they look great, though.
Yeah, they look great.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
That's the good work.
Yeah, at high risk for heart attack, but.
Honestly, I feel like I'm at high risk for heart attack with all the sweet and sugar that I eat. So it's like one person's having fun and losing weight, and I'm just like dying slowly. But I'm having a great time.
Great.
We're both having a great time.
Exactly.
Okay. So, what have you. Has any of this helped? I mean, I feel like we've just been kind of shooting shit,
but yeah.
Are there any takeaways or any other thoughts that you might have about this?
I think the biggest takeaway for me is that, again, like, I think owning myself, you know what I'm saying, is like, I'm in this transit, again, maybe because I just turned 30 and I'm just really in that, you know, they say.
That's tough.
Yeah, and it's like, but it's refreshing because, like, when I woke up on my 30th birthday, a bunch of fucks had fallen off of me. I was like, why do I feel lighter? Like, okay. I was like, okay, shake it off.
And up.
Girl, because I was like, okay, that's on the ground. It's like, no, literally, overnight, it was refreshing. So I think maybe that's what it is like, you know, because, you know, my mom always told me, you know, growing up, she's like, love yourself, you know, make sure you love yourself first. And they tell you women that all the time. And when you're younger, it seems like an asinine thing because you don't think that you don't love yourself. You're like, what are you talking about?
I still haven't really completely grasped that concept.
Well, you know, what I realized, and this is why I love having gay men in my life, because they give you, like, the tea, girl. And so I was working, one of these guys from my acting class, and he has, like, sugar daddy, so he goes to all these VIP events, you know. And he told me that he saw Susan Sarandon come into a party, right? He said she got there, like, you know, later than everyone else. But he said she walked in the room and everything like stopped. He said, I felt like everyone just stopped and looked. And then all of a sudden, everybody just had their eyes on her. She had some little 22-year-old little boy that probably like plays a bunch of other 20-year-old girls and 19-year-old girls. But he was up under her like a puppy. She was like, go get me a martini. He was like, okay, do you want olives? Or do you want onions? Okay, do you want to stir it, shake it? I can go make it. I'm going to get behind the bar and make it. Like, and literally just. And he said she sat there and everyone was just enamored. And he said she had this essence. And he was like, but, you know, when she does interviews, she just talks about, like, you know, the second that she stepped into herself and really, really started to love and own herself, you know, and not make apologies for it. You know, even if she makes a mistake, whatever, it's like, no, I love me so much that that's going to just radiate off. And then so everyone's all in her face. I'm like, oh my God, it's a weapon. It's a secret weapon. Like, really, I get what my mom is saying now. It's like, because I do feel more powerful when I take those times to, like, show myself self-love. Like, even just going to yoga.
Well, this makes a really good point that it's like when you're feeling powerful by showing yourself that love, it'll get you to a place where you feel more comfortable expressing how you feel because you know that no one can take that away from you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's like, because it's coming from the inside. Right. Like, you know, I'm not, you know, of course when I was like younger, like, you know, maybe 10 years ago, I was definitely in that space where I felt like I needed a guy in my life for that kind of validation, or I needed to have this person, you know, to be like, oh yeah, see, I'm validated. I'm someone's girlfriend, or I'm someone's, you know, whatever label. And just as I've gotten older, it's like, you know, sometimes I think that this happened, you know, maybe I've never been in a serious relationship because that's how imperative it was for me to just really, like, fall in love with myself. And now I'm all about me, you know? I'm like, no, did I take time to, like, meditate? Did I take time to, you know, eat the right food today? Like, I just made a new rule for myself today. Because I gain weight in my stomach, you know, so I get that cake pop, you know, shape. So I'm trying to, like, you know, slim it down a little bit. And, but, you know, for myself, just because I feel more comfortable. And also, yeah, shopping's more fun. So
I know what you mean.
It's way more fun when
I like being able to feel my body and start. I'm like, oh my God, I love the way my legs feel. Yeah. Yes. Like, you look fine like that. I'm like, this isn't about you.
This is, right. Like, oh man, guys, like, oh, well, you know, you're fine. You're fine. No, it's not. No, I need to be able to close my jeans and sit down and not feel like I am
gonna die.
Gonna die. Like, I'm gonna get my appendix is gonna explode. Like, it's like simple things like that. Mm-hmm. So, I do like my sippy sips of the alcoholic kind, but I have made a new rule that I am no longer going to, I'm allowed to drink alcohol as long as I drink a gallon of water that day.
Okay.
Yes. And I've done that before in the past and I felt way better because sometimes you never realize how much dehydration, you know, affects you. You know, so I didn't even know until recently that when you are dehydrated, you can eat more because you think, you know, hunger and thirst. You're hungry, but you're really just dehydrated.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
They say to, like, drink a glass of water before you eat a meal.
Absolutely.
Do I ever do that?
No.
No. Absolutely not.
Girl,
but
we know.
They say to do it, and that's important.
We know. I know all the they says. They say this, and they say, but, you
all
know.
All the they says. Where are you from again?
I'm from Northern Virginia by D.C.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what you're from. Your lingo is hilarious. I'm like, where is this from?
Oh, girl. That...
Like, is this Oakland? It's not. I'm like, Chicago?
Girl, you know, it's funny you mention Oakland because when I've visited Oakland and the Bay, I definitely, like, feel like it's that vibe is similar to, like, the lingo of the East Coast.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's because they get... it gets cold up there. I think cold weather just makes you, like, wittier.
So, I'm from Indiana. Exactly. Okay. All right, I see that.
Like, the funny
man,
thing...
Man, people from Alaska are probably on point.
Like, killing it.
Antarctica, they're just telepathic.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just feel like it's cold and you're like, oh, laughter will make me warm up. So, how about them chips? Like, I don't...
All right. So, main takeaway,
self-love. So, main takeaway, self-love is the best love, but our self-love is, I think it's the key to just inviting more love into your life in general from all different sources. I think that's the takeaway.
So, what are you going to do about this guy?
You know, I'm going to continue to do me. I mean, and I'm going to continue to, you know, we talk, you know, we'll just continue to talk and hang out and see what happens.
See what happens.
No pressure. Definitely not going to hit up Throwback Thursday. Mr. It's been 18 months and now I'm finally single. And I finally got an apartment. And now I want you to come spend money to come to Hawthorne. Like, you know, I'm like, yeah. And so definitely going to just
Throwback Thursday. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, well, we're going to take a quick little break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about how you write your jokes and come up with your funny little boop, beep, boop, boop. When we come back to A Little Advice. Hi, guys. Thank you again for listening to A Little Advice podcast. If you're having a good time, please rate, subscribe, share, and leave a little review. It'll help more people find the podcast. Maybe it'll help them in some way. If you'd like to see me do comedy in person, I'll be in Edmonton in Canada on January 17th and 18th, and I'll be at Flappers in Burbank on Saturday, January 26th. For more info, you can check my website, christinelittle.net. Also, please don't forget to check out Chelsea Groh's new album, Down Dog, available everywhere where you can buy comedy albums. Thank you so much. And we are back, like a whole conversation later. You guys totally missed what we were talking about.
It was pretty dope.
It was good. It was good. Oh, good times. Anyway.
So anyway.
You know, I'm still working out the kinks of being a podcast host. I don't know if you picked up on that or not.
All right, so let's talk about your creative process, your writing process. Like, when you come up with new jokes, I feel like you're kind of a comic that writes a lot, and you're always doing some new shit. You're all out doing stuff. Like, how do you come up with your bits?
I think what my writing style is going through a transition as well. But for primarily what I do is because I have my phone, like when I get an impulse or I get a thought, right, I'll write down it's usually a premise, or sometimes I'll get the punchline first and then I'll have to work backwards. I write it down on my phone and then I go back and then I'll like write it down in a notebook and I'll flesh it out and I'll be like, okay, like what, and you know, I'll just
give me an example.
Like, okay, example. So I'll do one of my old bits for an example, just for like perspective. Okay. So my bit called The Struggle, that's one of my first bits that I wrote, right? Mm-hmm. So it came out of a conversation with a friend and I was like, oh, I'm so broke because I'm on the struggle diet. And then, she laughed and I was like, oh, maybe there's something there. So I wrote it down for a while. That was all I was saying, right? But then, I got another idea when people started asking me, oh, how does the struggle diet work? Like, people were legit asking me, like, if it was Atkins or something, like, they wanted instructions, and I'm just like, I don't know, be broke and survive. And so then I realized, oh, man, like, I started writing that down. So these were the things that I was saying separately. I'd say, I have the struggle diet. And then I was like, oh, people ask me about this diet. I was like, oh, no, I can put these two together.
Yeah.
So then, I think it's a lot of writing and editing, but when I write, I'll go and then work it out. And then it's like focusing on that bit, and that's the transition that I'm focusing on. Because before, for a long time, I would write multiple premises and then I'd say, oh, okay, what about this bit? And then I talk about this next topic and they're completely different topics. But I mean, I felt like, oh, let me just riff through these five topics in these 5 minutes and see what comes out. And then, because I record everything, I do record all my sets, mics and shows, and I go back and I listen, and then I'll edit from there.
When do you go back and listen? Is it like right after a show, or do you have like a set time during the week?
I really work on like not listening to it that night, just because you're already still in your head and you're still on the, you're either on a high from a great set or a low from a little set. So.
Yeah, and then it's like, if it's a high, you listen to it, you're like, I crush, and you're like, this is good. But it's like, in my mind, it was better, or it was like, that sucked, and you're like, okay, this wasn't as bad as I thought.
That's exactly what happens. So I feel like I'm now at the point where it's much easier for me to sleep on it. Mm-hmm. And then, within the next 1 to 2 days, then go back and listen and then edit and then try the new bits. Because I always, when I listen to my material after the fact, I always come up with all of a sudden something else, because I get to be an audience member now by listening to my set.
Yeah.
It's like when you watch other comics perform, you're like, oh, you come up to them afterwards. You're like, hey, you could say this. You give them tags because I was just receiving the information. You don't have time to think when you're on stage. You have to be like present and if you are thinking, you're thinking about.
Unless you're in the flow and then you can furlough.
This is the flow. New t-shirt. Furlough.
If you're in the flow, then you just, sometimes things just come out and you're like, whoa.
Yeah, you're like, whoa.
Tag, I've never done. But it's good to keep listening and reflecting back because that bit you told me about, I totally forgot. I thought I just had the same bits, but things kind of naturally fall away
because it's like your head has so much capacity, you're focusing, and when you get new material and you're excited about it, like that's the thing, like
new joke energy,
it's real. It's like, it's like new dick energy, or new, you're like, oh, okay, girl, let's go for a run, like I think I'd say that is the best thing for my process is write the premise, write it in a notebook, like, the general idea, perform it a couple times, and then listen, and then just keep listening and editing. And I do now realize it's gotten a lot easier for me to let go of bits if I feel like they're not connecting. Because I can be excited about something or think, oh, there's something there. But if I work it out a few times, and it's not even so much about the crowd reaction, it's about, my gut is pretty good about saying, if you did that at a show, that would have gone well. Or it doesn't matter if this is an open mic. It's just no one's vibing. I'm not vibing it. You can tell the difference. So it's getting, I think that helped a lot. Because I would hold, for a while, I would hold on to like bits. And be like, no, it's going to work. And you know what's so funny? I feel like I let go of some of those bits. And then a year goes by, 2 years go by. And I'm writing something else. And it comes flooding back. Mm-hmm. And now I have a whole new perspective on it. So, but just listening is the key. I think that is the thing that's helped me the most grow as a comedian over these last six years.
It seems like it's not just listening to your old sets, but listening when you're talking to people for you to even know, like, oh, there's something there. And then when the audience members come up to you and say, tell me about the struggle diet, and you're like, oh, it's just this. And you're like, oh, that was a good response.
Yes!
Like, sometimes I don't even think like that. Or it's hard to even know how to take this thing that's happening that's now and put that into a joke form so that everyone can understand it.
Exactly.
So that's a really good skill.
No, definitely. And I think I used to work at a news station in Virginia. Yeah. I used to be an associate producer for this CBS affiliate. And one of the things that I learned from that, and also in college I majored in broadcast journalism, so they kind of pounded that into us, that they're like, when you watch the news, they're like, you need to, you know, frame your words and your writing so that the dumbest person in the world can understand it. But it's still... And then you think about it, you're like, wait, I watch CNN. I don't feel like they sound stupid on there. But it's, they found a way to present this information so that, you know, Tom, Dick, and Dummy can, like, listen to it and be like, oh, man, like, I get it. And I think so...
Tom, Dick, and Dummy.
And I think that has kind of been my mindset. I mean, even if I want to go back further, like to like high school, my favorite teacher, Mr. Kasich. Shout out Mr. Kasich if you hear this.
Oh, actually, Mr. Kasich is constantly writing me about this podcast. Hey, Kasich.
Hey, Kasich. He was the coolest dude. He was like a skinny Santa. He had a long beard. Never wore socks. Like, he was like so cool. But he would have us write. He'd give us a topic. He'd say, okay, write about your favorite color, your first kiss or whatever, and write it in 3 pages. And so we'd write 3 pages, and he said, okay, now go back and cut that in half to a page and a half. And we'd be like, wait, what? And you're like, but all this is, and you're like, oh, this is good. He's like, nope, you don't, I guarantee you don't need, you don't need all that stuff. Yeah. So then you do a page and a half. He's like, okay, now cut it down to half a page. Okay, now cut it down to a sentence. And then it's like, so those are the kind of exercises that we would do.
That's amazing. Who knew that he was training you to do stand-up?
Girl, right. I'm like.
Mind-boggling. That's crazy.
It's so crazy. Now, I've became obsessed with like how to say it in less words. He was like, you know, there's times and places when, yeah, you got to write like a 10-page paper or a thesis or whatever. He was like, but most of the things, he said, you can, finding the words that you can eliminate, you know, finding, he said, so you can get to the meat. He was like, because there's fat. And I know other stand-up comedians have talked about that too. I think Jerry Seinfeld's talked about that.
That's like a big part of what we do, is just getting to the point as concisely as you can. Mm-hmm. So when there's all these words around it, people can't hear it.
They can't hear it. It's distracting. It's distracting, you know? So it's kind of like, that's the goal when, like, in news, when you're writing, it's like, okay, what's the meat? What's the, you know, because you got a half hour to cover, like, how many news stories or topics, and and it's the same thing. It's like, as a comedian, you have multiple things you want to talk about in that 20 minutes or half hour or hour or 10 minutes or whatever. So it's like being like, being able to decide, okay, no, this is what I'm focusing on, and this, I'm going to say it in these words. Because, and when you think about comedians that I think are the funniest that I love to watch, like, do you know Deborah DiGiovanni? Yes.
Is it DiGiovanni?
Did you? There's a D.
We know who he is. We know who he is.
There's a D and an I and then Giovanni. So.
Giovanni.
And she,
she's funny.
She's so funny. And, it's like every time I see her perform, it's just boom, 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 punchline, punchline, punchline. By the time, and you're like, oh my God. She was up there for 15 minutes. I thought she was up there for like an hour, but not really. It didn't feel like an hour. It was just so much laughter. You were like, I'm exhausted from laughing so much. But it's like she's found the way to like just make things so concise and be like, nope, boom, boom. And you feel like you're getting all meat. It's like a steak sandwich. Her comedy's like a steak sandwich with no bread. It's just steak, steak, steak. You know, maybe a little carne asada, like steak. It's good. Yeah. So
what happened with the broadcasting thing? I never knew any of this. I love talking to different comics because they have all these like secret lives that I had no idea about. And I'll be like, I was in the military. I've got 3 kids. I'm you're married? Like,
oh, wait.
It's like, oh my God. Oh,
the kid thing is a trip, girl, because I've met so many comics. I'm like, yeah, you know, I got 2 sons. And I'm like, you just asked me for $20. Like, what? Clearly not changed child support.
But yeah, so what happened with that? That's so interesting.
Well, so when I went to college, I wanted to major in theater, you know. I wanted to say, I want to be a theater actor.
Of course, yes.
And my dad was not having it.
Are your parents still together?
Oh, no, girl. They got divorced when I was, like, 3.
Oh, okay. Because yeah. They're, like, on opposite ends of the spectrum here.
Yeah, you know, so it's, like, so that's two unique DNAs wrapped up in here. So it's constantly a conflict. But, yeah, my dad was like, no, you need to major in something that you're going to be able to make real money off of and accountable money and, that, you know, money, right? And so for me, I decided to major in broadcast journalism because for me, I felt like I was satisfying everybody. I get to be on TV. I get to, you know, because my goal was to be a TV reporter. I wanted to be Soledad O'Brien, you know, like one day I was like, I loved CNN as a kid. I'd like watch American Morning and love her and like love her like docuseries and stuff. So I was like, oh, wow, I could be like Soledad O'Brien and I could be on CNN one day and I'll be, you know, on TV and I'll get to, you know, that in my way was like satisfying that performance urge I knew I had. But, you know, it's a steady paycheck. So I thought, okay, I can do that. And I loved telling the truth. That's one of the things I loved about, you know, CNN and like the things that they would put out. And because I was like, okay, like they're telling people the truth. They're telling people like it is. You get to keep it real when you work for the news, you know, no BS. And then I worked for an actual news station. And what I realized, you know, was that you don't have that freedom when you work for a news station because, you know, how do you think news stations make money? Advertisement. And there is supposed to be a separation between advertisement and the news, but as years have gone on, there's been a lot of bleeding, you know, over in that. And so when there was a segment that I had produced, we had like the show I worked on was like a local day, Today Show kind of vibe, you know? And we had a segment where I had a nutritionist come on and talking about high fructose corn syrup, right? I had just learned about it at the time, and I was obsessed about, like, making sure I wasn't eating it and reading labels and came across this nutritionist, board certified, you know, had a PhD, is like a, you know, legit person. And so she comes on, and she does a segment, and all she did was saying, like, instead of having this, she didn't know any brands, she's like, instead of having this chocolate candy bar, you can eat this bowl of strawberries, and you can get more volume from this, you can eat way more strawberries for way less calories. And you're getting real sugar as opposed to artificial sugar. That's all she, you know? And so she just kind of, that's how the segment went. It was a very high rated segment. It got, you know, we put it online, got a lot of views. A lot of people were really excited about it. Like viewers liked it. I liked it. And we were in the process of starting a series about it.
Oh, that's great.
Girl, do you know the next day, someone from the Corn Association emailed the head of the station threatening a lawsuit saying that the doctor that we had on, that there were other doctors, who I'm sure you paid, other doctors.
There are lots of doctors on our payroll. I mean,
lots of doctors we pay a lot of money for to say what we want. And so it was this whole conflict. And I remember that my boss came down because, you know, and it's not her fault. It wasn't my executive producer's fault or my producer's fault. They told me I had to take the segment down and we had to pretty much act like it never happened. And
oh my God.
I was so upset because I didn't understand. Because I was like, what is the problem? We're supposed to be a news station and she's telling the truth. Like, there's hard scientific research to back up what she was saying. And it blew my mind. And that changed for me. That changed how I looked at news for me. That triggered me. Because less than a year after that happened, I moved to LA. And because I was like, it made me stop and realize, like, Chelsea, like, if you stay here, this is how it's going to be. You know, anytime you try to do something that may be considered edgy or
That's not edgy. Why couldn't they have said, I mean, not that this was, I don't know, why couldn't they have said, we're going to have someone, another expert who could oppose that or even having a debate.
But that's what's so crazy is I did. I reached out to somebody from the Corn Association to come on and do a segment and they never responded. I sent them multiple emails. So for me, it's like, you can't even say that I didn't try to have
So, and if they're doing that for something like that,
a local girl, we are a local affiliate in Richmond, Virginia.
What else is going on?
Exactly,
like, I mean, on such a higher level.
I can't imagine like what the head of the CNN newsroom, what kind of emails they get, or the head of like MSNBC or NBC. I cannot even imagine. Like, and but that was one of those moments I'll never forget, because that clicked in my mind. I was like, Chelsea, if you work in news, you're not going to be able to tell the truth, because the advertiser, and then of course I found out, you know, through the grapevine of the news station, that we had multiple advertisers that were affiliated with the Corn Association as well. And so I'm just like, oh, I get it, you know, and it is what it is. But I'm grateful that it happened, because it made me go, you know what? I'm just going to go and actually pursue my dreams, you know?
And tell the truth.
And I didn't even know that I was going to do stand-up. I didn't start stand-up until I'd been living in LA for 3 months. So I moved out here with the intention to act and, you know, exactly. And then, you know, stand-up, you know, me and stand-up locked eyes one night and, you know. And
then, what was your first foray into stand-up?
Well, a lot of crazy roommate situations my first 3 months. Like, my first person I stayed with, my homegirl, she's great. Like, I stayed with her for 6 weeks, and, you know, she has two cats that are really dope. But you know, after 6 weeks, I was like, okay, girl, you know, I was interfering with her hookup scenario, her little rotation. So, and I get it. I was like, all right, girl. And so... After that, it was like, I found a roommate on Craigslist, so, you know, this went well, and he was Asian in look, but he had a Russian accent, and then I learned about...
That's awesome.
Yeah, and so then I learned about this whole new country called Kyrgyzstan, which is right between Russia and China, right, you know, so I was like, okay, and the day that I came into the apartment to look at it, I saw a roach crawl across the floor. Now... I was desperate, you know, I had a car, but I was like, oh, I don't want to sleep in it, you know, even though I ended up sleeping in it later, but, you know, and I was like, okay, well, the rent's cheap and whatever, and I asked him, I said, oh, is there a roach problem? I just saw one roach crawl across the kitchen floor. There's all no roaches here, no roaches, you know, they come, they pass by time to time, no big deal, and I'm like... Yeah, okay, well, is this, like, a roach transit hub? Like, I just need to know,
This is, like, the Southwest hub of roaches.
Right, I just need to know, like, do
they come by, they wear, they leave, it's no big deal.
No big deal, like, oh, girl, and then the day I didn't, this is a lesson about listening to your gut, because my gut told me, Chelsea, there's never just one roach.
There's never just one roach.
No. But, you know, desperation, new to LA, effort,
you just
right?
wanted to get this thing going, like,
yeah,
like,
the second day that I lived there, I opened up the cabinets. A girl, it was the UN of roaches.
Oh my God.
It was. I saw an albino roach. I could have done an Animal Planet episode on roaches from the variety of species.
And
that, girl, something in my soul. I made him give me my money. I got out of there. I was like, oh no, man. So then.
Oh my God. An albino roach?
Girl, I was like, cause I was like, it was white. And
oh
white.
My!
Ah! Girl,
I can't.
So moving on. Okay, so now I've moved out. I threw away like a lot of my clothes in my suitcase, but just definitely. So after that, I go back to Craigslist because it worked out so well the first time, and so then I found another roommate. Now this apartment, clean, no roaches in West Hollywood.
West Hollywood's great.
Right, and there's two guys, they were a Latino gay couple, I was like, they had the bedroom, I had the couch, I was working, I was there for almost 2 months, but then I was, while they were both at work, I, you know, had gone out of the shower, and I was about to get in the shower, and I noticed that the laptop was open and the webcam was on, and it was recording.
What?
And it, right, I said, I closed laptop low, because I'm about to get naked, you know? I don't know if he was live streaming. I don't know. It was weird. And it looked like it was being remotely controlled. So.
What?
I come home. After I shower,
did
I go to
shower?
Work.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I showered. Great shower, by the way. Yeah. The shower head was on point. 6 settings. It was great. And then I went to work. I come home. And the guy, he's like,
Did you turn off my laptop when I was trying to film this?
Girl, he said he was Cuban. He was like, excuse me, did you flip up my laptop lid down earlier while, and I was like, well, yeah, there was a red light on. I was about to shower. He was like, but why are you changing? I don't want your naked body in my, you know, living room. And I was like, well, what? No one was home, and I have to put lotion on, and the bathroom's kind of snug, because, you know, this is West Hollywood.
I was like, this was in the living room. I thought it was in the bathroom.
No. But you know, I was going to shower, and since no one was home, I was going to change in the living room. Like, who cares? Yeah. Like, it's, yeah. And, you know, lotion's going to absorb better. It's not as steamy. It's And he just went in. He told me that, he said, you're just another basic bitch who lives on my couch. What? He was like, you could come home and I could change the locks and have all your shit outside, and that'll just be that.
What is this about?
Like, girl, he was like, don't you ever, like, touch my belongings again. He was like, I have a right to record anybody that I feel like recording, because, you know, I have a right to protect my home. I have a right to protect, you know, my stuff. And I'm like, I was like, I knew right then. I was like, okay, I gotta get out of here. But Thanksgiving was a few days away, so, and I knew he was gonna cook. So I just kind of, the night after that happened, this was November 7th, that happened. And the next day, November 8th, after work, I didn't want to go back to the house. So I was just sitting in my car, I was in Hollywood. I said, what am I gonna do? I was like, and I had told people over the last few months that my stories, and they were like, oh, you should try comedy. And I respect comedy so much, you know? I mean, grew up, my dad had all these vinyls, and Red Fox vinyls, and Richard Pryor vinyls, and my dad was obsessed with Chappelle Show, and my dad was in the audience at Killing Them Softly, actually. He was like, the guy who stood up and high-fives Chappelle, like, my dad was sitting right behind that guy.
I was like, he was that guy? You know? Not that I even remember, but so. Yeah, and my dad saw him, too.
Right, exactly, and he, so I think that, you know, when people told me, I was like, what, stand-up? No, like, I can't do that.
Who was telling you to do
stand-up? Just people that I had met at, like, bars, and, you know, like karaoke.
You're going out, like, Chelsea and I'm, like, saying funny shit.
Yeah, yeah. I was just talking, and so I was sitting there, and I was like, you know what, let me look up if there's any open mics, because I did used to do poetry in Virginia, okay. So I was like, maybe I'll just go do some poetry. And when I got to the Pig and Whistle, they were having an open mic, Pig and Whistle on Hollywood Boulevard, and I was, like, going to the basement, and there's, like, seven people there. It was very dark, and then I was like, maybe I'll just do comedy. I was like, you know, maybe I should just talk about what's going on in my life, because it's, like, it's really frustrating, and I needed to just get it out, and, you know, I couldn't afford therapy at the time, so I was like, well, let me just do this. And I got up there, and I was like, I think the fact that no one was there and it was so dark, I was like, well, you know, you suck, who cares? There's like six people here, half of them are drunk. And I went up there, and I just ranted. I just ranted and vented. And it just was like, and afterwards people were like, oh my gosh, you're a comedian. Like, you should keep doing this. And I was like, oh, well, I did feel like higher than I'd ever had from any sexual encounter at that time. So, you know, I was like, well, maybe this is, like, you know. And so, you know, fast forward, you know, Googling open mics a few months later. Shout out to Rivers Langley. He's another comic who told me about the Comedy Bureau. I saw him at a mic that following January. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, if you're looking for mics, go to thecomedybureau.com. And that became a resource. And through that, I met people, went shows. And here we are. I just had my 6-year anniversary, November 8th.
Yay.
So, yeah, girl.
Thank God.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think I'm grateful. You know, you go back and when you're in those moments where you've got the roach-infested apartment and then you've got the psycho roommate who's recording you and threatening you. And you're like, going through, you're like, why am I going through this? This sucks. But sometimes, like, that's the shit that's gonna push you. You know, if things had gone great, if I'd moved to LA and I found a great apartment right away and was making good money right away, I probably would have never even tried stand up, you know? And I'm grateful that I did. Does I definitely, stand up is definitely my first love. Like, I can sing and I can act and I have taken acting classes and studied and all of that,
and poetry,
yeah, and I
am a writer, obviously, from the producing and all that, yeah.
And I'm grateful for the gifts that God's blessed me with, but I realized that, you know, stand up is like, if somebody told me, Chelsea, I gotta pick one, I would pick comedy. You know what I'm saying? I and so for me, that's a sign that, like, that's how I know I'm a true comedian, because I mean, even the fact that it affects my mood. If I don't, it's like not.
You don't get up a certain amount of times.
It's like sex. It really is like sex. Yeah. Because it's like if you're in a, my friends who've been in relationships and then like they're used to having sex all the time and then the relationship ends and they're like, oh my God, like I'm used to getting D, like what I want, you know? Oh, I'm irritable. Ah! And then it's kind of same thing with comedy. Like, if I go like a few days without getting up, it affects me. I feel like, oh no, something's off. Uh-uh, nope, gotta go on stage. So, yeah.
I feel you on that. I figure, I'm not gonna share the number, but I've figured out a number to where I have, if I do comedy at least this amount of times a month, then I won't go crazy. Like, I won't get depressed.
Yeah!
Like, I have a minimum.
You have to have a minimum.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's so weird. But I guess, I mean, that's a sign that you're doing what you're supposed to do. Or you're an addict. I don't know. I can't figure it out.
Hey, you know what? If your addiction is getting on stage and telling people jokes, making people laugh, that's not a bad addiction.
Yeah. That's true. Oh, man, that was so interesting. I've never heard that story before.
Yeah.
I'm a little traumatized. So how'd you get out of that?
Well,
the next one.
So I waited until after Thanksgiving because, you know.
Did you eat there?
Oh, yeah, I ate there. I was like, girl. And then I think he was feeling extra apologetic, so he, like, got, like, the good wines, and, like, we were drinking the good wines.
Oh, so he got sheepish after that a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit. But, I mean, at that point, you've shown me your true colors. So, you know, like a true woman and a true Virgo, you know, I've left you mentally. I'm just working on the physical. Like, I'm on work, you know, women, that's how we do. You lose us in the mind, like, okay, this friendship's over, this roommate situation's over.
If we stop, like, caring or, like, reacting, we're done.
That's not exactly. It's just, and now we're just phasing out the details. Mm-hmm. We're phasing, but I ended up living in my car after that for 7 months. Well, six, seven months.
How did that work?
I got a gym membership, girl, and hit that shower. Oh yeah, because
what gym was that?
Oh, 24 Hour Fitness.
Okay,
yeah, they had a good deal, $40 a month, and I did still have a job.
That's pretty cheap.
Yeah, and that was the thing, like...
So you slept in your car, though?
I slept in my car. I mean, some people would let me crash at their places, but I also was new to stand-up. I was still new to L.A. For me, I was, like, something told me, like, just don't give up. And I almost gave up about 6 months into stand-up. Just like, yeah, May. And I had a show at the HaHa, and I was sitting in my car, and mentally exhausted, you know, physically exhausted, just drained, spiritually drained, just feeling like... What am I doing? I was like, I have a college degree and like, why am I sleeping in a Ford Focus? You know, like I'm not even sleeping in like an Audi or a Tesla. Like I'm sleeping in a Ford Focus. It's like, you know, and I had a show at the HaHa and I had some people who I'd met at the gym. They came. So
you mean at home?
Oh, well, right. Okay. Right. We at home. So move from my house, you know, throw three treadmills over. I made them laugh at the gym in conversation. I invited them to my show and they came. And so it was one of those bringer shows where it's like, whoever brings the most people gets the most time and gets to go up last. So I brought six people, a whopping six people. So they were like, okay, Chelsea, you go last. Right before I get on stage, like seconds before I get on stage, Damon Wayans walks in.
Oh.
Girl. Again, I was in my car outside the club before the show looking up flights to go home. Like legit was like, I can't do this. I'm you know, a failure. Like, like what am I doing, Chelsea? Like, so he comes in, he's in the back, and I get up there, and I told myself right front, I said, Chelsea, Damon Wayans is here, but fuck that nigga, okay? You cannot let him get in your space and just go. I get up there, and I had, at that point, one of my best sets. And because I just kind of let go. And I think in the back of my mind, I thought, well, Chelsea, you're about to leave LA anyway. Who cares?
Yeah.
And after I got off stage, like, he came up and he, you know, did his set, which, of course, was hilarious. And then he tapped me on his way out and said, hey, you were funny. He was like, keep it up. And I was like...
That means everything.
Girl, and I mean, I'm like... And meanwhile, I'm having an internal explosion of, like, all these, like, ah, you're dead last. Oh, my God, Major Payne. Oh, my God. You're the killer. Oh, my God. I'm going through his credits in my head. I'm like, and I was like, and I said to him, I said, really? He was like, yeah. He was like, yeah, no, you were really funny. He was like, just keep, he said, make sure you keep working. Keep doing this. And I'm not getting emotional. But I just think about how close I was to really just, like,
I get some goosebumps.
I was like, oh God, I was like literally like about to call my dad and said, Dad, buy me a plane ticket. I can't do this anymore. And like, who's to say like, oh, like, that's why, like, he came in that, like, he came in, well, there's no reason, like, he's Damon Wayans, he just decided he was working on some stuff, and he just wanted to come that night, and, girl, I'm so grateful, like, to me, I know everyone believes in whatever higher power, like, I believe in God, and I know that was, like, that was God, you know, like, just saying, like Chelsea, like,
divine intervention,
yeah. Chelsea, you're doing the right thing, like, don't give up, it's okay, and then, like, right after that, I found somebody to stay with, and spent the next, you know, 18 months, like, couch surfing, and then I finally got a job, and I got an apartment, and then was homeless again, like, after that apartment situation, and it, but, like, I'm in a good place now. Now I have a, you know, place I've been at for a year. The rent is very affordable. I'm very grateful, and I'm just glad I didn't give up, you know?
Yeah.
I'm glad I didn't give up.
Me too.
Yeah, but, yeah, like, all the bullshit, the bad stuff, it's worth it, you know? I think that's my biggest takeaway from, like, these last 6 years of doing comedy. It's like, sometimes I think that comics, we go through so much crap, and we battle so many, like, demons, we battle so much stuff in our head and our spirit, because that's how powerful what we do is. It's like, laughter is healing. Like, I mean, like, I've had people come to me after a set and say, oh my God, I was having a really bad day, or my mom's in the hospital, and, like, you made me feel better. And it's like, to have, like, that kind of a gift, that we can do that we can really change people's entire mood, you know? Somebody can see a stand-up performer change the whole trajectory of their whole life because they laughed and they just forgot about the bullshit for a second. And you think about that and you're like, you know what? Like, no, that's why we're constantly, I feel like there's this attack. Like, there's this spiritual attack on comedians. Like, you know, and like, what is happening? Because we can take the worst shit. We can take the worst stuff and make it funny. Like, that's magical, you know? Sorry, yeah. My nose.
Like, alchemist.
Sorry, I'm like, this is my therapist's office, like.
No, that was really powerful. Have you seen Damon Wayans since? Have you told him that?
Well, my anniversary, I posted on Instagram, I tagged him, whatever, and I said it, you know, thank you for saying that. And then I saw him maybe a few weeks after that initial night, and I just asked him, I was like, you know, I respect you, and I just wanted to ask any advice you could give me as a new comedian. And he said, never, ever lose your perspective. Find your perspective and keep it. Because he was like, your perspective is the key. So the comedians, there's a stream of consciousness with comedians. And he was like, look, comedians, like, how many comedians have a topic or bits or material about abortion or about, you know, Obama when Obama's president, or about relationships or whatever? He was like, you know, those are like topics that have like an infinite amount of like perspectives that you can have on it. But he said, that's what makes comedians stand out, is having that clear perspective. And so he was like, finding that, and that's all wrapped up in finding you, you know, that's all wrapped up in the more in tune I get with myself, the clearer that my perspective is going to be on stuff, you know?
There, I mean, it's totally related. I had this acting teacher that said something I'll never forget. He said, your acting problems are your life problems, and your life problems are your acting problems.
Yes. Yes.
And I just would think about that in so many situations. It's like, oh, I'm having trouble being vulnerable. Oh, I'm having trouble being vulnerable.
Yes!
It's the same thing. And I think there's like a feedback loop. As one gets better, the other one does, and vice versa. So,
no, yeah. Absolutely. 100%. And so that's the thing, is like, you know, owning my perspective. I feel like now I'm at this place. I just put out my first comedy album.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about that.
Oh, yeah. I have a comedy album out. It's called Down Dog. There's no tears on there. Don't worry.
Tears of laughter.
Tears of laughter. And it's on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Music, and I just found them on Tidal. So if you want to support a black-owned business.
Okay.
And yeah,
it's called Downward Dog.
Down Dog. Yeah.
Down Dog. Mm-hmm. Okay, by Chelsea Grout.
Yes,
look that up.
Just think about what you say to your boyfriend. Down Dog.
And where can people find you on social media?
I am on Instagram and Twitter at Chelsea G Comedy. So it's at ChelseG Comedy. And yeah, that's where I'm at.
All right, cool. Do you have a website or anything? Or?
Under construction, but under construction. Okay. Yeah, under construction, but yeah, no, I definitely will blast it on my socials when I have it up. Yeah.
Okay, look up Chelsea, guys. Check out her album. Thank you so much for being here. And
thank you so much. Thank you for being my pseudo therapist, girl. This is great.
You were great. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much. All right, well, guys, if you like this episode, which if you didn't, you're a sociopath. Please rate, subscribe, share, and leave a review, and I'll give you a little shout out. Thank you guys so much for listening to A Little Advice.